Thank God for that. Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19, we're going to begin reading in verse 18. For our guests tonight, our Bible study on Wednesday night is entitled Walking in Wisdom. And we're studying the book of Proverbs, verse by verse. We're walking in the wisdom of the Word of God. And tonight, Proverbs 19, beginning in verse 18. Let's stand together in reverence to God's Word. And as we open the Bible to Proverbs 19, verse 18, I've entitled the message tonight, Family Counsel. And how many of you believe it's better to get preventive medicine than to come in and have to have major surgery? And that's what I believe Three to Thrive is all about, just getting what we need to grow the way we need to grow. And this is Family Counsel for individual families, for the church family. Proverbs 19 has been a great chapter for us. We're going to try to finish tonight, and beginning in verse number 18 and reading down through verse number 29. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, for if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. Hear counsel, and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom, and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. And reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. An ungodly witness scorneth judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. Judgments are prepared for scorners, and stripes for the back of fools. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the book of Proverbs, how it counsels us and helps us. Lord, there's not a person here tonight that doesn't need this. I need this tonight. And Lord, everyone in this room needs to grow in the counsels of the Lord. So help us to receive family counsel from the Bible. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Tomorrow we will host our annual West Coast Baptist Youth Conference, and none of us would debate the fact that there's a great need in America today for teenagers to turn their hearts toward God. It just seems like a lot of times, Brother Furso, with teenagers, it's as when we were teenagers, the times haven't changed much. Seems like the devil seems to get a wedge in and causes teenagers to struggle and fight the temptations or give in to the temptations. And I think everyone in this room would say, blessed be God, we need a revival for our teenagers, and we're praying for that. But you know, the fact of the matter is, if we really were to be honest, some of those basic youth conflicts that people have experienced as teenagers are still prevalent in our lives when we're grown adults. Rebellion is not something that's just kind of the corner on the market for the teenagers. It's something that all of us battle in our lives. The strong-willed child we sometimes talk about can grow up to be a strong-willed adult. And so because of that, we as the children of God, and the Bible says in Ephesians 5:1, follow God as dear children. As the children of God, we come here tonight. Yes, the teenagers are over there getting some stuff from Brother Schmidt and others, but we're here tonight to get what we need. Amen. We're here to get family counsel too, every one of us. And I want you to notice as we begin tonight in Proverbs 19, God's concern for the family. The concern that seems to permeate the book of Proverbs is a concern for the family. By the way, are you glad tonight that God's concerned about your family? Because I'll tell you what, Hollywood's not. They're doing everything they can to ruin your family. I'll tell you what, Budweiser's not real worried about your family tonight. But God has great concern for your family tonight. And the Bible says in Proverbs 19 in verse number 18, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, for if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. We see immediately concerning the family the command to discipline.
God's word is very clear that children are to be brought up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. They are to be encouraged. They are to be challenged. They are to be loved. They are to be disciplined. Sometimes a child may feel as though they're just constantly being overseen, and yet that's exactly what the parent's responsibility is. There is a command to bring discipline. The Bible says in Ephesians 6 and verse 4, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29, the Bible says, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. The Lord Jesus wants us to have a meek and a tender heart, a heart that He can come to, a heart that He can approach. And like His heart, He wants us to be meek and tender. Many times a young person will have that strong will we mentioned just a moment ago. And yet God says, I want them to have discipline in their life. The Bible speaks of chastening thy son while there is hope. In other words, God gives us children. They are the heritage of the Lord. They're on loan to us. We're to steward that tremendous treasure that God has given. And when a child is going outside of the boundaries of the family, the boundaries of the Word of God, there would need to be chastening in order to bring them back into the disciplines of life. Have you noticed in this day in which we live that the devil's mode of operandi seems to be promoting somewhat of an undisciplined, disheveled kind of a look, disheveled kind of an action? I mean, you can just oftentimes see a young person today, not being critical of anyone, but the average teenager today, their pants are droopy, their shirt is untucked, their hair is uncombed, and sometimes it's even filled with gel to keep it with an uncombed look. They're walking down the sidewalk, maybe with a big chain hanging out, you know, and they buy clothing that's already ripped. And they walk around with a very disheveled look. By the way, the Bible's clear. God is not the author of confusion. The Bible says, let all things be done decently and in order. I'll tell you, the kind of men that I want to hire and the kind of men that I want to influence my life, the kind of men I want teaching in our school and college are not disheveled, unkempt men who can't get out of bed, who can't keep a schedule, who won't keep themselves going in the right direction. I want some men that shake you in the hand, that look you in the eye, that are sharp in their appearance. And yet, many times, it's hard to take a 40-year-old and get them to understand that. It's a blessing when you can meet a child that was raised up in a family where a mom and dad cared enough to say, hey, you're getting out of bounds. Come on now, straighten that up. Straighten up that room. Comb your hair. Do your homework, you see. The command to discipline. Moms and dads, the fact of the matter is that you can grow weary sometimes, repeating yourself, sometimes fighting a battle. How many times do I have to tell you? How many times do I have to spank you? What do I have to take away from you now? But I just want to say tonight, and if this is all the family counsel I give you, it's good counsel. Never, never, ever give up on your child. Lovingly, yes, but never back away. A child does not respect a parent who gives in on their convictions, who gives up on their love. God's word says, chasten your child while there is hope. There is a command in the Bible to discipline. Notice, secondly, the concern for danger. Young people that are here, some perhaps in the college tonight, why is it that parents are so persistent? Why is it that God would say, chasten thy son while there is hope? Notice, if you would, in the Bible tonight, in chapter 19 and verse 19, a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, for if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. Now, with our children, the Bible says, when there is great wrath, a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, because he was never taught to discipline his behavior. He is going to suffer more and more later. A man that is not subdued with this matter of his wrath is going to see it only multiply. And so learning how to control, learning how to be temperate, learning how to be disciplined at a young age is vital so that they're not mouthing off to the police officer, so that they're not mouthing off to the teacher in school. I was with a pastor just recently, and we sat across the table from one another, and we had preached together in a meeting, and I could just tell he wasn't his normal self. And so I said, let's get a cup of coffee. And we sat down, and we were kind of visiting a little bit, and I said, you okay? Everything okay? And he said, oh, he said, be honest with you, I'm just having kind of a rough time right now. I said, well, I'm sorry. He said, well, he said, We had to expel a young man from our school. I said, I'm sorry, that's a bummer when you do that. That's the one downside to having the school, is that immature Christian parents, when the kids get in trouble, then they sometimes are more unfaithful at church. By the way, you ought to always keep a fine line in your mind on that. I've often said to our parents, you need the church more than your kids need the school. You need to stay right with God because your kids need a godly parent more than the Christian school. And I believe greatly in our Christian school, but if Johnny gets in trouble at the schoolyard and he gets demerits, that's no reason to come scowl at the pastor. See, I didn't bite the kid in the playground. Your kid bit the kid. He said, we had to expel a kid. And I said, man, I'm sorry. He said, well, Brother Chapel, and this is exactly what he said four or five days ago. He said, he lit a fire in the locker room, lit a fire in the trash can. And then he said some foul words, and then he stood up in class and challenged the teacher, and he said, we have a demerit system, and that last one, that was it. Senior boy, he's gone. He said, I wrote his folks a letter and told them we love them. We're sorry. They tore it up in pieces and sent it back. That's always wonderful. Said he was down. And I told him what I always say and what I believe. I said, you know, if you allow that kind of behavior in a Christian school, you'll lose the whole school. I said, Pastor, you did the right thing. I know it was hard for you. I know it hurts when people are upset with you. Let me tell you something. The Bible is clear that a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. You see, if that young person doesn't get that under control, and if those parents don't learn how to support a principal, and if those parents and leaders don't get together and help that young man learn that he's got to have control in those areas, I got news for you. That boy's headed for more and more trouble. I've seen that happen 100 different times. Punishment is not intended just to inflict a moment's pain. It's intended to help someone live a happy life for the rest of their life. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof, the Bible says there, give wisdom, the Bible says. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. Let's read that together, shall we? The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child... I'm tired of parents that say, well, we just let our kid make up their own mind on that. That's not God's command, Christian parent. God's command is bring them up in the way they should go. You see, so the counsel of discipline is clear. The concern for danger is real. Notice thirdly, the continuance of direction is necessary. Young people need a constant, continual direction. We have two now that are married, and frankly, I'm thankful that they want still counsel and guidance, and I try to give that, but my days of giving a lot of that have now come down to lesser and lesser opportunities. The fact of the matter that every young person will come to a place where while they should still honor their parents, they've got to determine God's will and follow the Word of God on their own. But while there is a young person at home, it is the commandment of God to continually give them direction and to help them. That's our responsibility. The Bible says in verse 20, hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. The young person, as well as the moms and dads here who are spiritually minded, are to receive counsel. We're to want counsel. We're to expect it in our life. Notice the word there in verse 20 says, to hear of the counsel. Listen, the Bible says. Now, let me tell you something about listening. Listening requires a humble heart. I don't think humility is really easy for any of us if we're honest about it. James 1:19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to what? Hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. All right, is that in your notes there? Let's read that together. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be slow to speak. Sometimes we don't want to hear certain things. Sometimes, Brother First Soul, people have brought things to me I didn't think was wrong or that I had done something wrong. It's just they brought it to me. Right at first, I thought, that doesn't seem right, like I did that, or like so-and-so did that. You know what I've learned? You can learn in every situation. And the Bible commands us to listen. And if nothing else, at times I have written a note or a letter to simply say, thank you for caring enough to be concerned about me. Thank you for being interested in my spiritual welfare. I'm going to tell you, someone may come to you and they may say, you know, every time you look at me, you have this smirky look and you sneeze and you walk away from me. And What do you think is wrong with me? And they might have a critical chip on their shoulder, but they're sharing that with you. And you might say, you know, I never realized I looked at him that way and sneeze and walk away every time. But I'm going to try next time to shake his hand. And maybe he'll wish I wouldn't have after sneezing, but I'll go ahead and shake his hand. And the fact of the matter is that if someone's trying to help you, you should receive that with gratitude. Look, if you're the kind of Christian that can only take praise, you're not a very strong Christian. The Bible says receive counsel. Now, please understand this. If someone comes into the office and they say, I'm here for counsel, but all they want me to do is stroke their backslidden soul and tell them that they're doing right. You're fine. You're fine. Your attitude is great. Everything about your family is great. Everything's great. They're not getting counsel. They're wasting their time and my time. And sometimes counsel is not exactly what we want to hear. Sometimes counsel tells us to go a different direction. Sometimes counsel tells us to separate from a wrong crowd. Sometimes counsel tells us to straighten up our attitude, whatever the case might be. Look, when we get to the Word of God, our spirit ought to say, I want to be ready to hear because I need the continuance of direction. Jesus often said, he that hath an ear to hear. Let him receive instruction. Paul said to Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Hey, it's a great thing. This is why I think my wife likes teaching fourth grade girls. Because fourth grade girls can't wait for Sunday school. And those of you that work in children's ministry, I mean, they just can't wait to go to Sunday school, especially if you bake what my wife bakes on Saturday nights. She doesn't just teach a class. She serves gourmet food to those fourth grade girls. And I am the official taste tester for the class. Safety first, that's my motto. We don't want these children having any sicknesses around this Sunday school. And they come in, boy, they love it, and they hear the Word of God. But you know what? Let's make sure that we're that way when we go to church. Let's make sure we're hearing the family counsel. The concern for the family is seen in the Bible. But notice, secondly, the counsel for the future. A lot of the counsel that we receive is to help us make sure that we're going the right direction in the future. We want to make sure that the trajectory is right. Because if we're at the launch pad of the rocket site and we're just maybe a half an inch off, we're going to wind up at Pluto instead of the moon. And God's Word gets us lined up in the right direction and gives us counsel today that will help us for the future. My wife taught me that years ago. I wasn't real sharp on all this, but she was wallpapering a room one day And she just, you know, got in that mood. Sometimes ladies get in that mood. They're going to paint wallpaper, change furniture, and normally a husband gets involved somewhere in that process. I came home. Boy, she was had all this stuff pulled out of her room, and she had a blue line of string, and she had run that from the top, put a little nail in there and ran it down, and then she'd pulled it back. She snapped a line on that wall. I said, honey, what are you doing? She said, if I just start wallpapering from the corner, she said, my dad was a contractor, and he told me that a lot of the drywall guys, they'd just put that drywall in a little bit crooked, and they'd get the tape maybe just a little bit crooked there, and then they'd throw that plaster on there and mud that over. She said, a lot of times the corners are just a little bit off, so she said, I've got to use a plumb line, because if I line up the wallpaper to the corner, many times by the time I get to the other side of the room, the wallpaper's as crooked as you can possibly imagine, she said. So therefore, I've got to line up my wallpaper to this straight line so that when I get around the other side, it's going to work out just fine. And ladies and gentlemen, the straight line is the Word of God. And we're here tonight to make decisions right now so that when you are 25, you'll be glad you made the decision when you were 20. And so that when you are 50, you'll be glad you made the decision when you were 40. And so on and so forth. This counsel is for the future of your life and of your family. Notice in verse 21, the Bible says chapter 19, verse number 21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord shall stand. You know, the fact of the matter is, I don't really care about your feeling. Don't really care about the way your gut instinct on something. You know, that's fine for a moment. I just feel this way. I just feel that way. I just feel so misunderstood, and so on and so forth. You know, all of that's good and fine, but what really matters is the counsel of the Lord. What does the Lord say? Why? Isaiah 46:10. My counsel shall stand. I will also do all my pleasure. Now, notice this. First of all, we must have a proper direction. That involves proper devices. That would be not our emotions, but the Word of God. That would involve proper desires. The Bible says in verse 22, the desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. Any man can be known as a kind man. And that ought to be the desire that we have. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 12, for if there first be a willing mind, it is acceptable according to that a man hath. God says, if you have a willing mind, you're going to be a part of this project. You're going to have a spirit that wants to be involved. Why? Because you have the proper direction coming forth from a heart of obedience to the Word of God. Not only a proper direction, but we must secondly have the proper perspective. If we're going to go into the future, and if we're going to go in a way that pleases God, we must have the right perspective. And that again comes from the Word of God. Notice in verse 23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. Now, here is the proper perspective for life. The proper perspective is to have the fear of the Lord. The teenagers are going to go to an amusement park. They need not have the fear of Brother Schmidt. They need, if we're succeeding in this, to have a great awe for God. What does God want me to do there? How does God want me to react? And how does God want my testimony in this particular place, you see? God wants us to have a reverence for Him. It is in verse 23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. If we fear Him, it affects our future. It affects our reputation. It affects the decisions that we make. The Bible says it brings life. Proverbs 9:11 says that by God our days are multiplied. And it brings not only life, it brings satisfaction. Psalm 34 and verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. Let me tell you something great about honoring and awing God. And that is this, that when you fear the Lord, He takes care of you. When you awe Him, He loves to reward those who are honoring Him. And it brings security into our life that He will take care of us. And then thirdly, as we think of the future, we must have the proper productivity. Notice in verse 24, the Bible says, a slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Now I'm going to tell you something. Every one of us need to recognize the importance of diligent work today in order to be prepared for tomorrow. The fact of the matter is, from the Word of God, that our counsel for the future includes not being slothful. The slothful man putteth his hand to his bosom. I'm not making fun of anyone tonight, but there are folks who sometimes can get themselves in such a mindset that they almost have determined they're never going to work again. It's one thing after another ailment, after another ripoff, after another company, after another problem, and on and on and on it goes. If there's someone here tonight, man, you have a will to work, and you're looking for a job, and you're working at it, please understand, I'm not minimizing that. I'm just saying that God's Word is very clear that He does not reward laziness, the Bible says. And when we look at verse 24, it's clear, a slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom, and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Laziness leads to lethargy. And it affects Bible study and prayer and our work ethic. And ultimately, it can bring someone to the place of destitution. And now, when they should be just starting to pay for their own way, they're having to still hold on to mom and dad's coattails, or they're having to hold on to welfare, or they're having to hold on to some other situation. And all because they did not have a mind to seek God's counsel for the future. And God wants us to be thinking about the future, even right now today. So in this text, we see God's concern for the family. We see God's counsel for the future, that we would fear Him and honor Him, and that we would be diligent people. Then notice finally tonight, God's caution from failure. There's a caution here tonight that God gives to us. And in these closing moments, notice this in verse, once again, verse number 24. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom, and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. Now, there are some sure ways to fail. One of those ways is to neglect the teaching of the Word of God. One of those ways is to neglect the counsel of someone who's seriously just trying to help. You can walk away and say, I don't see it that way. All right. but someone may have been trying to help you. You can say, oh, everyone's against me. You can get a chip on your shoulder, or you can get the benefit of what God is trying to do in your life. Now, when do we fail? Letter A, when we neglect reproof, we're doomed to failure. I think of Dr. Salazar, Dr. Getch, and others, Dr. Rasmussen. They're going to talk to a young person. They're going to challenge them about certain matters of discipline and integrity. Boy, I tell you what, if somebody like that takes time to speak to a young person, don't you think they'd be wise to say, thank you for sharing that with me? That's the right spirit. Brother Beeson, our basketball coach, if you bring a basketball player and he's going up off the wrong foot and he's always throwing up jump shots because he learned that on the playground when he was growing up, Brother Beeson's going to try to say, now son, listen to me. You need to go up off the left foot for the right-handed layup and off the right foot for the left-handed layup. And when you're going to go up for the 360 jam like the pastor does, then you got to go off both feet. And you got to learn these things. And if Brother Beeson is trying to tell a young man how to properly shoot a layup, and the young man is standing there and he's saying, I know how I do my layup. That young man's not going to be helped. You can talk all day long to a young lady and you can say, listen, sweetheart, holding hands and caressing is going to lead to kissing, and kissing is going to lead to fondling, and fondling is going to lead you where you don't want to go. And she can say, I know how to handle these things. I don't need your little speech. She can say that inside, but by neglecting the reproof, she's only hurting herself. When we neglect reproof, we hurt ourselves. Now, first of all of us at times need reproof. Scorners need reproof. Notice what the Bible says in verse 25. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. You know, sometimes when there's a person at work who's always mouthing, or in school, sometimes the best thing that can happen for all the employees is when that person's dealt with. Because as long as he is scorning, then it creates an atmosphere where everyone thinks they can scorn. We have in our church house tonight a number of public school teachers, and they want to help every student, but if there's one student who keeps bringing knives, and he keeps cussing, and he keeps challenging the teacher, it's a great day for that teacher when that young person is removed from the class, because it puts fear back into all of the other students that the authority is going to be upheld in this classroom. You see, we are going to fail when we don't hear the reproof. Scorners need reproof. And then I think of, secondly, the wise sometimes need reproof as well. The Bible says, the simple will beware, reprove the one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge, verse 25. Boy, you know, a wise person always is glad to hear of a better way to do something. They're always glad to hear of how to avoid trials and difficulties in their life. This is one of the reasons that I believe in capital punishment, besides the fact the Bible teaches capital punishment in the book of Genesis. The fact of the matter is that as long as people think they can go around killing each other and then live in a house of literally comfort with cable television and weights and three meals a day, as long as they feel like that's the way it works in our state, oftentimes we're headed for more and more and more anarchy. And I know that every case has different circumstances. I'm just simply saying that when people begin to realize, hey, there's three strikes and you're out, you know what? It helps everybody else in the community. You see.